chance. There's the goal. She's going that way. And watch. Wait for it. Wait for it. There's everybody else going back the other way.
To another goal here in Paris with a new Olympic record.
The United States, Hayley Batten, what a ride by her. And she has taken the silver medal in Paris.
USA coming forward now. Paredes! What a beautifully worked goal! Heading
all through. Alex Cedric now just puts the foot down. But Cedric, she's got plenty of gaze under the post. A stunning result from the United States. Bronze medalists of Paris 2024.
Here comes Haas.
Gretchen Walsh trying to hold out. It looks like it's going to be a 1-2 American finish. It's Haas who gets in there. 1-2 for the Americans.
The podium after winning the silver in Tokyo.
Big smile on her face.
The arena, take a deep breath.
There you go, Jordan Childs.
Couldn't have done that routine any better.
Finish to the routine. Finish to this journey.
That's the best routine I've seen her do in a while.
Yeah! But this is all about the team.
Biggest moment of his career.
Right here, full spin on one arm. Great. Let's see what we got. There it is.
Oh, my goodness.
The monster routine.
Wow.
Good things come to those who wait.
That is the kind of joy that at one point in your life, I hope everybody in the world gets to experience something like that.
Well, good morning, Hope. How are we doing this morning? Amazing. I'm glad to hear it. Today, we're going to be diving into a pretty important topic. We're talking about heaven today, and we're talking about not only just how do you go to heaven and all of those very important questions, but also how do you make sure that you catch all those glimpses of heaven that show up on this side of heaven, because heaven's breaking through into our world, and we don't want to miss those glimpses of heaven. We want to catch the celebration, catch the party, and make sure that we see those glimpses, and so we're going to talk about that today. And to dive into that, I want to start by asking you this question. What are you celebrating these days? When's the last time you had a pommel horse guy? He doesn't even have a name anymore. He's just pommel horse guy on the internet, okay? What is the last time? When is the last time you had your pommel horse guy moment? Where the celebration, the joy, the party that was in your heart, it just was exploding, and you were like willing to look just foolish. You were willing to dance around. You were willing to scream and shout. You were partying, celebrating. You're experiencing a glimpse, not heaven on earth. I don't think I have to tell any of us or remind any of us that we're not in heaven yet. This is Iowa. Remember that old movie, right? So I think we kind of all know that. But have you caught a glimpse of heaven lately? Or has it been a minute? For my kids, they caught a glimpse of heaven on Friday. We went to heaven on earth in Iowa. It's Adventureland, baby. Okay, we went and you know, we paid the $4,000 to park our car, but while we were doing that, every penny was worth it, because our kids, they were like kicking the back of the seats of the minivan, and my son, and I quote, we get in the parking lot, he undoes his seatbelt, and he says, "Woo! Let's go!" Like he's having a pommel horse guy moment. But eventually, and it was a glorious day. It was a glimpse of heaven on earth for kids. For parents with kids, it might be the other place. Who knows? But that's not what the sermon's about today. So we'll leave that for a different time. But what are you celebrating? What are you celebrating today? Or maybe has it been a minute? Has it felt harder to come up with reasons to celebrate? Has there been things that maybe are stopping the celebration, stopping the party in your life? Because the truth is, have you noticed that in this world, well, it sometimes rains on our parade. What if it rains? In the opening ceremonies, you know, the hundreds of thousands that went to Paris, and they're watching these opening ceremonies and all of these athletes that are coming by, and of course, it rains. And these hundreds of thousands of people, they got to get ponchos. And, of course, they're feeling like this girl right here. What if it rains? What if it rains on your parade? How are you supposed to party then? How are you supposed to find those glimpses of heaven then? Because truth be told, there's many of us that are here today that, well, we'd love to have more pommel horse guy moments. We'd love to celebrate. We'd love to party and have more of those moments in our life, but sometimes there's just things that happen. It's not my fault or your fault or someone's fault. It's just the broken world that we live in. It's the weather. But sometimes it's more than that, isn't it? To continue with this Olympic analogy, you know, for many of us in the room here today, there's times when we really hoped that maybe we would place at a different place than we currently are. Or at least that we would qualify, and it seems like that our chances of getting where we wanted to be and achieving those dreams, that, well, they've passed. How are you supposed to party then? How are you supposed to party when maybe you're feeling mocked or offended? What do you do when someone mocks you or offends you or someone mocks someone that you care about? How do you party then? What if you're in a fight that just seems totally unfair? You've been matched up in some kind of battle that it just seems totally unfair that you would have to face this battle after everything that you've been through. I talk to people in this church all the time, whether it's a diagnosis or whatever it might be in your life, whatever situation it might be, maybe you're in a fight that's unfair. How do you party then? Truth be told, all of these parties, and really, when you think about even the Olympians, and they're celebrating, and there's these moments of celebration that they're so fantastic, and we shouldn't downplay that. That's fantastic. We shouldn't downplay the glimpses of heaven in this world. We should enjoy them. But truth be told, a lot of us, we're just so busy that even if they happen, we don't feel it. We're always on to the next thing. Or maybe you've learned the lesson that my kids had to learn on Friday, that even when you go to Adventureland, and it's glorious and it's wonderful, and you got to go to the water park, there's that moment where mom or dad says, it's time to go home. And that party ended. Every party on this side of heaven, it ends. The records we set, someone will beat them. The medals we earn, their glory will fade. And even our lives, the party that is our lives, it's limited. We're all limited. And what if it rains on our parade? That's why we're talking about heaven today and why we've been talking about Jesus parties for the last few weeks. We're talking about the greatest Jesus party today, which is heaven. And so the series is called There's No Party Like a Jesus Party. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's no party like a Jesus party. And all of you that went to college or grew up and lived through the 60s, you're like, yeah, I mean, thanks for laughing. 8 a.m. didn't laugh. I don't know why. Don't know why. I thought it was funny, too. But honestly, though, it is an honest question that a lot of people have. It's like, okay, I get that your Jesus parties are unique, but is it one I want to be a part of? Really? Maybe you're here today and you look at church people and you're like, is that really the kind of party that I want to be a part of? Do I want to be associated with the other people at that party? But what we've seen is there's a huge difference between a religion party and a Jesus party. A religion party is all those boring things that you probably think about, or all those grumpy things that you probably think about, or those judgmental things that you probably think about, which, by the way, you've probably been to some worldly parties that were grumpy or judgmental, or full of drama. So this is an everybody thing, right? This isn't just religious people, but this is an everybody thing. A Jesus party is different. See, we saw a couple weeks ago, maybe you've heard that story of how Jesus, he turned water into wine, and we saw that his abundance, it shows up. See, when the stuff that we bring to the worldly parties that we want to find, when it runs dry, we have a God that knows how to keep the party going, how to bring his abundance to the party. Have you experienced the abundance of Jesus lately? Are you still drinking the wine that isn't as good as his wine? See, maybe you've been to those parties where, I mean, if you're going to be invited to that party, you need to be in this friend group or that friend group or in this social echelon of society, or you need to think this way or vote that way in order to be accepted. The truth is that a Jesus party, oh, it blows world parties out of the water and religion parties out of the water too, because in a Jesus party, he turns the outcasts into guests of honor. He takes the sinners and the tax collectors of his day, which we have sinners for sure, and whatever person that you think is just the scum of the earth, he or she, they would be a guest of honor in the Jesus party that we have. By the way, if there's someone that thinks you're the scum of the earth, do you know you would be a guest of honor? You are a guest of honor at the Jesus party, because it's all about God's mercy and his grace, his love that overcomes the things that divide us. We're one body united in Christ. And today, as we look at heaven, the Jesus party, I want to point you to a few scriptures. So the first one is, I want to show you what Paul wrote to the Colossians. What are you laughing at? When I saw this photo, I'm like, we have to put that in there. That's got to be in there somehow, because, I mean, he probably has more gold medals in worldly parties than all of us combined, okay? But even he's like, whoa! That's what heaven's like. That is what heaven's like. See, Paul says this to the Colossians, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights. I want you to say it nice and loud. Set your sights!
Set your sights!
Like that guy from Turkey. Set your sights, right? Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Where are your sights set? Where's your focus? Is it on the realities of heaven? Because when it rains on our parade, sometimes we get a little distracted from that. At least I do. When it rains on our parade, sometimes we can forget. And I don't know if you've noticed, Christians, we don't really have this reputation for being party people. We have a reputation for being party poopers. Okay, I will only say pooper once, okay? I said it twice. I said it twice. But I'm only going to say pooper once. No, three times. Okay. I'm only going to say that word one, two, three times, and that's it. But you get the point, right? We have a reputation as Christians that Jesus didn't have. Because Jesus was the life of the party. Jesus brought a party to places that no one would expect a party could show up. Why don't we as the church have that these days? Why isn't that our reputation? Did you know I could just put slide after slide after slide, a Bible verse, Bible verse, Bible verse, Bible verse, that shows that we have a God that actually commands us to party, to celebrate. Why don't we have that reputation these days? Could it be that the world's confused on what the best kind of party is? Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But could it be that Christ's followers have forgotten how to throw a Jesus party? Could it be that their sights, our sights, have drifted from what matters most? Are your sights set on heaven? They're set on something else. The sights that we have, set them on the realities of heaven. Because every party on this side of heaven ends. Even this worship service, it's going to end. But heaven, the thing that sets heaven apart, is that Jesus' party never, ever ends. It never, ever ends. And for those of you that lived through the 60s or went to college once, you're like, that's what I'm afraid of, okay? But here's the thing. As we look at the scriptures, it's a whole lot different than all of those paintings that you saw once upon a time of all those really bored angels in heaven, and they're strumming their harps, and they're like, my fingers are bleeding. I don't even like doing this. Oh, man, this is the most boring place, just sitting on clouds. I've literally heard people tell me that, hey, I would rather go to the other place, because if I go to heaven, then I'd have to hang out for all eternity with those people that don't like me. Then the people that I love, well, apparently they're going to be in the other place, so I'd rather be there and just suffer with them. And honestly, I can get why someone would say that, but it's just because you don't have a very good picture of what heaven's really going to be like, or even who goes. See, a lot of people think that because their image of heaven is off. Their sights are set on the wrong thing. And we turn back to what God's word shows us heaven is like. You know what will happen? It sets us free. It changes all. Whenever the rain comes on our parade, pouring down, all of a sudden, all that rain, it's put in the light of heaven, this party that never, ever ends. See, I heard someone explain heaven and eternity this way. They said, if you lived in the United States and you bought a plane ticket once a year, every year, and you would fly over to Africa, to the Sahara Desert, and you would pick up one little souvenir, you get a little grain of sand, okay, and you got your grain of sand, and then you put it in your pocket, and you fly back over to the United States, and you set it down in your bedroom. And then you wait till next year, and you buy another plane ticket, and you fly over to the Sahara Desert, and you pick up another little grain of sand, and then you fly back. And by the way, did you know the Sahara Desert? It's like the size of the United States. And if you did this every single year, and you started building a little pile of sand in your room, how many years before you have a handful? Way more than 10. Someone said 10. Do you know it's over 1 million grains of sand in just one handful? So now let's think about it. If you were to do that and you were to bring the entire Sahara Desert all the way to the United States of America, the United Desert of America, okay? If you created the United Desert of America, how long would that take? And by the time that you had achieved this great feat, eternity, this Jesus party, would have barely begun. It's barely getting started because Jesus' party never, ever ends. Jesus' party, according to the scriptures, it's one that you want to be a part of, not just because it's forever, but because it's so, so good. So let's look at it. Let's look at what the book of Revelation says about heaven. And one thing I want to say about this before we dive in, do you know the book of Revelation, for some people that's a scary book. It's scary, one, because they probably just don't understand it as they read it, and they probably don't understand it because they don't know their Old Testament super well. But it was written by John, one of the disciples of Jesus. He was one of the guys, he stood at the cross, he was the only disciple there at the cross, along with the women. He wrote the book of Revelation, he wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, same guy. And John, he gets this vision from God of what heaven is like, and you know who he writes it to? Christians who are suffering. Christians who are being mocked. Christians who, frankly, they didn't have an air conditioning place to gather for worship. Like sometimes in our world, and maybe it's just the internet and Christians, you know, just talking like the rest of the world. But the truth is that we have no clue what suffering for our faith really means. The people in the first century, they were fed to animals for their faith. They were tortured. And to gather like this, if they could see this, their mind would be blown. To gather in Jesus' name like this would just be unheard of. And God gives them this glimpse into heaven, and it's not just so that they can have, oh, that's some nice intellectual information that I can look forward to, and then, you know, maybe I can just downplay all the things that I'm suffering now and just think about heaven. No, it's much, much deeper than that. Catch a glimpse of what heaven is like. So that you can put it in light, your suffering, your joys, your sorrows in light of what God is bringing for you. So here's what it says in Revelation 7:9. It says, a vast crowd. Everyone say, crowd!
Crowd!
Just making sure you're awake. Crowd. Did you know heaven will be crowded? Maybe you've met a Christian that makes you think heaven will be very sparse. It'll just be all those really goody-two-shoe religious people. No, it's going to be crowded. And it's going to be diverse. See, it says, the crowd is too great to count from every nation and tribe and people and language. And they're going to be standing in front of the throne of the Lamb. The Lamb is an image of Jesus. And in some ways, it's like the Parade of Nations, although the Parade of Nations, really what that's been about, I mean, there's a bunch of drama around it this year, but for years and years, what that's been about is, oh, well, here's a country, and they have their own culture, and you know, if there's disagreements, we're setting that aside for some sports, and so let's have them come in, and yay, that country, okay, that's great. And then, oh, here's another country, and yay, that country, okay, that's great. And then we're setting aside all of our differences for sports. But did you know there's going to be a Parade of Nations that's a little different? There's going to be a Parade of Nations where all the nations and all the rulers and all every single person that has any power or authority, all of the accomplishments and accolades, they'll march them in, and they're not going to say, look, Jesus, aren't I great? They're going to set them down at the foot of Jesus and say, Jesus, it all belongs to you. Jesus, it's all about you. They're going to stand before King Jesus. They're going to stand before the throne, before the Lamb, and they're going to set everything down. And so the Parade of Nations, it's not heaven. It's the Olympics. But did you catch the glimpse, or were you too upset to catch the glimpse? Let me be super clear. The Bible says God will not be mocked. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. You're fine. But if you've read the news, scroll on social media. Did you miss it? Did you miss the glimpse because you were too angry? And I'm asking it with all the love of my heart because we have a God who is spit on, mocked. They said, oh, King of the Jews. And then they crucified him. And what did our Lord say to those that mocked and spit on him? He didn't look at John, who was there at the cross, and say, would you get on Twitter and tell the world how wrong they are? No, he didn't. What did he say? He said, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea that they're crucifying your son. They have no idea how holy you are. They have no idea how great your love is. They have no idea how great your grace is. They have no idea what it's going to be like when the nations come and they lay down at the feet of Jesus everything that they think that was theirs. They have no idea. And so our Lord says, Father, forgive them. So you tell me, what's the more Christian response? To take on the actions and the methods of the rest of the world, to shame and tweet and go do all these things and say, we're standing up for what's right. And some Christians will say, well, the brave pastors, those brave pastors, they're going to stand up for the truth. How about you stand up for the truth of the example our Lord and Savior set? Tell me, what's more like Jesus? To tweet about it? Or is it more like Jesus? Say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Maybe they don't know what they're doing because it's time for us to show them how good the party is. Maybe they don't know what they're doing because they're just seeking a party that looks better than religion. Maybe they don't know what they're doing because it's time for us to step it up and to catch the glimpse of heaven and become a glimpse of heaven for them instead of judging them. Oh, God will not be mocked. And there will be a day where everyone's going to set everything down before the Lamb. And you know, one glimpse that we got of it was at VBS. It's hard to just stop talking about Vacation Bible School because it's such a Jesus party. If you were there, you saw it. Imagine no chairs in this room, and it's filled with all of these kids, and they are praising God like they're not even Lutheran, okay? Like, You know that saying that, like, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is Lutheran, right? It's like you're like, praise the Lord. Okay, like, I'm really stepping out here. And you know, and I'm if you don't know me very well, I'm seriously teasing, because there's so many Lutherans that, like, your heart is there, but you look like you're asleep. Okay, it's okay, so long as your heart's there, right? But these kids, it's in their heart and it's in their actions, and their light is shining, and it's so inspiring to all of us. It's a glimpse of heaven. One of the images of what heaven is really like. Heaven is described in the book of Revelation as a wedding feast. This is my wedding day. It was yesterday. No, I'm just kidding. It was I was 21 when I got married, and as I was going through my photos, the wedding photos, and figuring out, okay, what ones would we put in there, I was just scrolling through and, you know, just reliving those moments, and then I was just like, wow, having children really aged me. So anyway, I say that because my kids are Hope Kids right now, so don't tell them I said that. But heaven is described as this wedding feast, and I don't know if you've ever been to a wedding where maybe it was your wedding, maybe it was your kid's wedding, your grandkids, or maybe it was a friend of yours. You've been to one of those weddings where it sticks with you. You can feel the love in the room. It sticks with you. There's something about it. For me, this is one of the biggest parties, the biggest celebrations of my life, where I got to seriously marry up. The Bible says, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. See, a lot of people, when they plan a wedding, they're like, well, there's the boring religious part, and then there's the fun, baby. But God is in all of it. Remember, where did Jesus turn water into wine? Was it in the ceremony? No, it was at the reception. God's in all of it. Are you catching the glimpses? Or are you missing the true party? See, this day, it meant so much to me, obviously, because I got to marry the love of my life. But one of the moments that was so special for me was our first look. You know the tradition of, you know, how the groom doesn't see the bride? And we knew that I'm way too much of a crier to do that in the service in front of people, okay? So we decided we would have that not in the service. I still cried in the service. In fact, my wife, like the tough man that I am, handed me a hanky during the service. I'll never forget. I love you with all my heart, honey. I'll never forget that moment, because in my family, we cry at Hallmark commercials. But also it was because those moments, they just meant so much to me. And I remember in this moment, I was standing on the stage where we would say our I do's in just a few hours. And I remember hearing Michelle's heels click as she walked down the aisle. And as she walked down the aisle, my heart is beating faster, and she reaches out, and she touches my shoulder, and she says, Nick. And this moment of such anticipation, of such love, I'll never forget it. And it points us, it's a glimpse of heaven, it points us to what it says in Revelation 21, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, which is another metaphor for heaven, the place where God is. Coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I remember later watching her as she came down the aisle, and everybody stood. And I watched her walk with my father-in-law, Chris, who I didn't know would be here at the Saturday night service, and I look over while I'm at this point in the sermon, and there he is, and I'm like, So don't go watch the Saturday night service, everyone, okay? I'm going to try to hold it together. But in that moment, oh, it was like a glimpse of heaven. Have you had a moment like that lately? One of those moments where you're like, I wish I had a photographer here. Because our life and our eternity is designed to be that way. There is going to be a moment for you, Hope, where you'll turn around and you're going to look into the eyes of Jesus Christ. And in those eyes, you will see a depth of love that you cannot even imagine. You will see a grace. You will see a compassion. And it will never end. Because Jesus' party, his wedding feast, it never ends. All eternity is filled with moments like that. It's not strumming harps on a cloud. It's filled with moments of love and grace and compassion, looking into the eyes of your Savior. And, you know, if you think this is cute, I mean, you should have seen the photo that they took right before this where I'm just like a mess. I was too embarrassed to put it up. But there's going to be a day when you, church, we'll look into the eyes of Jesus. Revelation describes this wedding feast where Jesus is the groom. And you're the bride, Hope. You are so loved, you have no idea. You have no clue. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you see it? When you see him? And when you realize what it means? Revelation, it says this. It says, there will be no more. Someone say, no more! No more. Oh, say it. I mean, you said it like, it was probably in your heart, but you said it like a bunch of Lutherans, okay? So I need you to say it like some Lutherans, okay? So no more! No more! There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. All of these things are gone forever. Say it like you watched The Sandlot yesterday. Forever. You remember that? Forever. Because Jesus' party, it never, ever ends. One of the best pieces of advice that I was given on our wedding day, because it goes fast, right? Kind of like life, it goes fast, was to make sure that you stop and you take some mental pictures along the way. That you stop and you soak up the moment, the glimpse of heaven that's there. And one of them was our dance floor. We stopped and we just looked, and this is a picture of our dance floor when we're on it. Look at me and my awkward dance moves, and my beautiful wife and all of our friends and everything. And it's just this glimpse of heaven. It's not heaven. That dance party ended. And some of you that grew up Baptist, you're like, I didn't know Lutherans could dance. That's great. Yeah, we can dance. Dancing's in the Bible, people, and if it's in the Bible, it's Lutheran. Or Baptist, too, I guess. I don't know. But if it's in the Bible, it's Lutheran. And so we look out and we see all these people that we love, all these people that love us, and we caught a glimpse of heaven. We got a glimpse of the Jesus party that never, ever ends. I looked out and I saw my mom and my stepdad who were sitting over there, and I'm not going to look at them right now. I saw my dad and my stepmom. I saw my mother-in-law, my father-in-law who raised the woman of my dreams. I saw our friends. Some of them are really messed up, okay? Like, they're weirdos, so, okay? But they were there. It was a picture of heaven. Heaven isn't where good people go when they die. Heaven is where forgiven people party forever with Jesus. And we got to see them dancing like they weren't Lutheran, although we had lots of Baptists there. Over here was Pastor Mike. He's not in this photo, but he's like over here with Sally dancing away. And so my pastor's there. My parents are there. I see my cousin.
dancing like Michael Jackson because he knows how to do the moonwalk. And I didn't know, you know, it'd be like years later, I didn't know that he'd be battling cancer at the same time my brother was battling cancer. I didn't know what was ahead for us. I didn't know what was going to be so hard, but in that moment, we saw a glimpse of heaven. When was the last time you saw one? When was the last time that you caught it? Because when you have your sights set on heaven, oh, it changes how it looks right now. It changes what happens when it rains on your parade. It puts it into perspective. It takes all of the things that like, would be so easy to just complain about, and maybe we actually should, because there's things in this world that are wrong, and there's things in this world that hurt, and there's things in this world that are unfair, and there's things in the, but there's going to be things in this world like that because it's not heaven yet. We're engaged with Jesus, and the wedding day is coming. The wedding feast is coming, and that feast, it never, ever ends. So catch a glimpse, hope. Or like that astute theologian once said, party on, hope. Excellent. Because Jesus and his love, it's so excellent. Don't miss it. Because you're seeking the wrong kind of party. Don't miss it because you're just too busy. Or because you're just too offended or just too upset. Don't miss it because this glimpse of heaven, it's what gets us through to the wedding day. And there will be a day when you look him in the face and he looks you back and you will feel more known and loved than you ever have in your entire existence. And that will never, ever end. So catch a glimpse. Party on, hope. We're going to catch a glimpse right now. This meal, it's a glimpse of the wedding feast, the heavenly feast that has no end. As we enter into this time of communion, I want to remind you what this painting's actually about. I'm the bread of life, Jesus says. Whoever comes to me will never, never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In faith, when you come and receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you get a glimpse of heaven. You might eat this and say, is that a cracker? Is that bread? I mean, I've had better wine. Yeah, this is not like the best meal that you're going to have today. But it is the most powerful one because it points us to the reality of heaven. Set your sights where it matters most, hope. And when you do, rain or shine, you'll become a glimpse of heaven for this world. You won't be hungry anymore. You won't thirst anymore. Let's just shine your light and party on. It was on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body. It's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the supper, he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. New covenant, that's Bible language for a promise, a deal. And that's basically what a bride and a groom do, isn't it? They make a promise before God and before the assembly. Saying, we're together forever. That's what Jesus is doing with you in this meal, right now. When you come down the aisle, whether you're wearing heels or a dress or not, you're the bride of Christ. And when you receive him, you're united with Christ forever. So party on. Catch a glimpse. His blood is poured out for you and all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, Jesus says. So I want to invite our ushers to move into place. We're going to move into this celebration, this glimpse of heaven. And a few words of instruction before we do. What's going to happen is you're going to be dismissed row by row and you'll come down the aisle. Someone's going to place a wafer of bread into your hands. And if you remember, try not to eat that yet. You're going to dip that into either the dark colored wine or the light-colored grape juice, and then you can receive that. If you need allergy-free, you can do that right here at the station in the center. They'd be happy to help you with that. If you need allergy-free, gluten-free, all of that. You might be wondering, is it okay if I do this? I mean, I have kind of a history, or I haven't taken a class, or I was in this denomination or that denomination. Here's what I want to tell you, is that if you want Jesus, if you want a glimpse of heaven, you can get it right here through faith. So let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And as we do, there's a line in it I want you to pray with all of your heart. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know what that means? May we catch the glimpses of heaven so we become a glimpse of heaven, so that this world starts to look like heaven, so the bride of Christ is ready for this party, Jesus' party, that never, ever ends. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come and receive this foretaste of the kingdom of God. Party on, Hope.